The following audio is from Living Acts Church in Tyler, Texas. For more information about the church, you can visit our website, www.livingactschurch.com, or you can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/livingactschurch.
All right. Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Living Acts Church. I'm glad that you guys are here, and I hope that you are excited this morning and also just feeling refreshed by being in the presence of the people of God after a very intense week, to say the least. We found out this past week around 2 a.m., for those of you who stayed up like myself, which is probably a mistake, but found out this past week around 2 a.m. On Wednesday morning that the next president of the United States will be Donald J. Trump. And this is news that has had no small impact on our nation and our community, and also, I'm sure, many of you. So for the first half of the week, I began preparing a sermon on a parable, because that's the series that we're in. And then Thursday morning, we decided to kind of shift directions after the elders and I were discussing what we should focus on this morning. So since then, I've been very timidly preparing a sermon on the church and politics. So it's my fault that your bulletin still says that we're in the parable series, but just know that this is a kind of a standalone, a morning that we wanted to devote to a specific topic and just address some of the issues and concerns that have been brought up from this past week's events. Our hope is that many of you would find comfort, guidance, and clarity this morning on how we as evangelical Christians are to respond and to think through the events that have happened. Before we pray, as we always do, I just want to kind of lay a few cards out on the table. I'm 22 years old. As many of you can tell, I'm a white male. And I'm also not a political expert. I've got my own biases that some may be good and some are undoubtedly sinful. I've got my own answers to questions that relate to politics, and some of them may be good and some of them are definitely wrong. So I don't want you to think that I'm coming up here this morning to stand above you and say that I've got all the answers or that I can solve all your problems or anything of that nature, because I don't have the answer to every question, and I can't satisfy all of the things that might be lurking around in your head. My aim this morning is not to give you some sort of in-depth analysis of Donald Trump. My aim is not to discuss specific issues and tell you how you should stand on them. And my aim is not to advocate for you to join a particular political party or movement. That's not what I want to achieve this morning. My aim is to open up the one thing that you can trust, the one thing that can guide you, that you can rely on, that never changes, especially not every 4 to 8 years. And that is the Word of the Living God, that has remained constant and unshakable for so long. I think we would be foolish to rely on anything else. So before I begin, I'm going to, as always, give you guys a chance to pray. And in this time, I'd just like for you to pray for yourself. Pray that the Spirit would enlighten your hearts, that God would give you a humble heart. There's no doubt that every single one of us needs things rearranged right now, within our hearts, within our minds. None of us have a perfectly divine perspective on all that's going on. We all have room to grow and to work towards thinking through these things and responding in a way that God desires us to. So may none of us stand in a place of saying, we're just teachers and not learners. May we pray that God would teach us from His Word. And secondly, the biggest miracle, pray that He could possibly do some of that through me, that I would be a vessel, a tool, an instrument, that God would equip the saints for the work of the ministry. I know that some of you may be thinking, this guy is 22 years old, how many presidents has he even been conscious for? And I had that thought, which is one reason I am a little bit nervous about this morning. But I'm going to try to play to my strengths, which is not my age, and just read the Bible a lot. So anyway, with that said, please pray, and I'll close this in prayer in a second. Heavenly Father, God, we come before you this morning, bowing head and bowing our hearts to your will and to your word. God, I feel a great sense of grief and sorrow this morning. A sorrow when I think about the divisions that are in our country right now. A sorrow when I think about conversations that I've seen and had with many people who are confused and hurting. And I feel a great fear when I consider myself and my own questions that are lurking. And I consider that this morning I'm going to try to give guidance to a people on a subject that I feel very inadequate with. But God, I pray that you would equip me this morning, Holy Spirit, that you would speak through me, that you would feed your body, that you would comfort your sheep, and that you would guide us into your way of responding to the current state of our nation. God, I just confess that I have no good words to say unless they come from you. So please, Lord, don't let me say anything ridiculous. I pray that there would be clear communication. God, that as you speak through me, you would help everyone here to understand clearly the intention of my heart. And I pray also, God, that you would open up your word, that how your infallible everlasting word speaks to us in this time would be clear for us, that it would convict our hearts, that it would sharpen us and refine us and make us a people consecrated and set apart to be your holy nation. God, we cannot do this without you, so we ask that you speak life into us, and that you give us grace in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. I might have mentioned this in the prayer, but I really do want to just kind of briefly mention this before we start. Just know that my heart is very weary this morning. I know that politics divide, and I know that they hurt people. And I know that the kind of conversations that are fostered by social media are often really, really painful, because you're not looking at somebody in the face. You're looking at them through a screen. But that's how I think for the majority of us, our interaction with this week has been. So just know that my heart is not to upset anybody, and know that my heart is not to have anyone walk out of here feeling divided from the body. And I don't think what I'm going to say is that controversial. So I'm probably amping this up way more than I need to, but I want you to know that if after I'm done, you feel upset or you think that I said something but you're not sure, I just want you to know I'm not going to preach and run, although it might sound nice. I'm going to preach and I'm going to worship with you guys at the end, and I'm going to stick around, and I would love to talk to you guys afterwards. If you want to talk, I'd be happy to listen. So just know that. This morning, the layout is, I've got seven points that I want to make. And the first three are mainly going to be kind of truths that I want to remind us of. And the last four are going to be more so applications, things that I think we need to respond with this morning. And some of you might only benefit from one or two of these points, and some of you might benefit from all seven. But I pray that they would be a strong foundation for Living Acts Church to move forward on when thinking about the election and our nation. So I'm going to be, again, reading a lot of scripture this morning, because if there is one thing that I think was lacking from social media this past week, it was the Word of God. So I pray that His Word would be our guide this morning. The first point that I want to make, and one that was all over the internet, was that God is sovereign, that God is ruling, that He is reigning from heaven. And the reason that I'm making this point number one is because, in my opinion, I think this is the crucial and foundational point that we as Christians need to believe and live in during this time in our nation. And when I say that, I'm sure that some of you are thinking, yeah, I saw the Facebook posts, I know God's reigning in heaven, He's sovereign, I get it. But I'm not calling us this morning to merely affirm with our minds that God is still sovereign, and that even amidst the chaos, that He is still on the throne. But I want us to feel the weight of that this morning. I want us to see the comfort that that brings, so that we may comfort others. Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Let every person be subject to governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And those that exist have been instituted by God. When we ask the question, why does someone come into power? We cannot ignore this verse. God is the ultimate reason that any ruler at any time in history has ever been given authority. This is not about Donald Trump. This is not specific to Donald Trump. There is no leader, no authority who has ever been appointed into their position without the hand of God. And God guides these things in ways we often don't understand, but we know that He does so for His namesake, for His glory, for His purposes. No one has ever come into authority apart from God. Now, why is that important, to really believe that God is sovereign and that He alone appoints rulers? For one, it reminds us that God didn't somehow wake up Wednesday morning as shocked and confused as the rest of the nation, right? He did not wake up surprised and flabbergasted, scurrying around wondering what He's going to do because the polls didn't tell Him that Trump was going to win. This was not an experience that God had, unlike the rest of the nation. And the reason that that is good news for us, that God is sovereign, that nothing surprises Him, is because of Romans 8:28, which tells us that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. All things. That's everything, right? That's all things. There's no other better way to put it. That is everything works for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Regardless of how we may be internalizing this election, regardless of how we may be internalizing the reaction of our nation or any of the events of this past week, as a Christian, you have the incredible blessing to be able to trust in God, to be able to rejoice in Him, that your joy is not shaken, your hope is not unfounded. You can lean on Him at all times. He uses all things, good and evil, for his own glory. There is nothing that interrupts his perfect plan. Now, this obviously doesn't mean that we flatten out everything morally and just kind of throw our support any and everywhere because all things are working for our good. That's not what God calls us to do. He calls us to have a heart like his that responds with hatred to evil and with love to justice, right? So this doesn't mean that we just don't really care about what's going on in the world. We are to resemble our Lord. And this also isn't a moral claim about Donald Trump, right? I've seen this abuse happen this past week of saying that, oh, well, because, you know, God did it, you know, like we're just right there 100%. But again, we are not God. And that is a really important distinction for us to make if we don't want to get off track when we think about politics, how to respond to these things. We are human beings, and we have been given commands that are not the same rules that God works with. Okay, so it's important for us to realize that while God is reigning in heaven and while no authority comes into power except from what he does, he calls us to respond. And he calls us to react in righteousness. So the question I want to ask you this morning with this first point is, are you trusting in God's perfect plan and sovereign will, or are you resenting the moment that God has placed you in? Because there's a huge difference there. So wrestle with that this morning. The second point that I want to make is that our truest allegiance and identity belongs only to the King of Heaven. Your identity cannot be found in some sort of political leader or a political party or any other ruler or authority unless his name is Jesus Christ. He has to be the root, the basis for our identity. You are a citizen of heaven, as Paul says in Philippians 3, 17 through 21, brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. So you hear what Paul is reminding the Philippian church of there. He's reminding them that the core of their identity cannot be found in this world. That you are a citizen of heaven. That is your identity. That is what you proclaim. That you are a citizen of the New Jerusalem, God's holy city. That's amazing. That is something that I can stand behind all the way. We're citizens of heaven. So our duty as Christ's ambassadors and citizens of heaven is to bring that civilization here. It is to fulfill what Jesus prayed. God, bring the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Where there is a city, a civilization that is waiting to come, but yet it's come now in some ways through us and through the coming of Christ. We must not offer our absolute allegiance to anything but Christ. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7:32, for the present form of this world is passing away. So don't get wrapped up and all of these things that vie for your heart and your allegiance and your attention. This present world as you see it, it's going to be gone. You know, we all talk about how, you know, life just goes so fast. Our kids grow up so fast. It feels like yesterday that I was, well, for me, I guess it'd be like 15. But, you know, We always talk about that. Yet when it comes to moments like these or weeks like these, we just feel like everything bad will last forever. And God calls us to lift our minds above that, to realize that the present world is passing away and our allegiance must belong to only Him. I heard a pastor say this past week that our identity cannot be found in the donkey, you know, or the elephant, but only in the Lamb. The Lamb of God, which was slain, which has purchased you. If you are a Christian, you don't own yourself. Neither can a political party. Jesus is your Lord. I want to read Acts chapter 5, verses 27 through 32. When the high priest brought the apostles before him. Starting in verse 27. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest questioned them, saying, "We strictly charged you not to teach in his name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." So here the apostles are brought before the high priest, and they've just been broken out of jail from an angel of the Lord, which is pretty nuts. And you know, the high priest brings them there and says, "I told you to quit talking about Jesus. What are you doing? Didn't we already have this conversation?" And what does Peter respond? He says, "We must obey God rather than men." You see clearly who Peter and the apostles' allegiance belonged to. And that was God alone. What does Jesus pray in John 17 before he goes to the cross? He prays that those who would come to believe in him would be one, that they would be united in him. And that's a really important statement, that we would be united in Christ. The goal of the church is not to find unity in a political party. The goal of the church is not to go out and have conversations during these festivities and try to win people over to your political worldview. The goal is to win them over to Christ. You're not pointing them to some temporary leader. You're pointing them to the eternal King. We've completely missed the point if our goal in these conversations that we have is all about making someone vote the way you vote. So short-minded. And just before I go on to the next one, just know that I'm not innocent of these things by any means. If anything, most of these things that I'm sharing this morning are things that have been very humiliating for me to be convicted of myself. So just know that I've been here with many of these things. The third point is that we are called to submit to our government. We are called to submit to our government. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. "Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor." Now let's remember who is writing this. It's Peter, right? When we literally just saw in Acts 5, when the high priest brings Peter and the apostle before him and says, "I just told you to do something. I'm an authority. Listen to me." What does Peter say? No. We must obey God rather than men. So is there a contradiction here? because it looks like he just disobeyed an authority and now is telling whoever it is that he wrote 1 Peter to, I forget, I think it's a circulating letter, but now he's telling them, be subject to every human institution. There is no contradiction here in Peter's mind, and there shouldn't be one in ours as well. Our ultimate allegiance is always to Yahweh. No one deserves the number one, the primary place as our king, our ruler, our authority than God. However, when the government and our leaders call us to do something that is not sinful, that we would say can align still with the will of God, we are to obey them as we would obey God. That's the scripture speaking, not me, as we obey God. That's amazing. You know, God calls us to that kind of submission to our leaders and to human institutions. And notice also that Peter doesn't just instruct us to obey those in authority over us and obey our government, but he calls us to honor the emperor. Now, that word honor, I think, is very significant because there's a few other people in the Bible, in the New Testament specifically, that we're called to honor. One of which is our parents, right? Called to honor our father and mother, to give them honor, to submit to them in a sense that they have authority over us. Another group that we're called to honor is our elders, the leaders who God has assigned to our church, who also God has called us to submit to and obey. So to do a little thought experiment this morning, I want to ask a question. Do you talk about your own parents in a similar way as you talk about the leaders of our nation? Do you talk about the elders of our church in a similar way that you would talk about your father, your mother? I can't get past the fact that as I see a bunch of Christians spouting off on social media, wearing the flag and the banner of Christ, that I'm just like, man, where is the grace? Where is the cross? Where is a reflection on our own sin in this kind of time? That we're so willing to condemn other people. And God has called us to respect them, to honor them. And what are we doing? We're showing the world that we're no different than them. That all we want to do is point fingers and divide. That should break our hearts. Because no one's going to come to the church when they see that. Because it's not different than the world. My hope is that the body of Christ would be mature enough to treat others with the kind of respect that God commands of us. And also that we would have the humility to realize that none of us have a perfect slate from which we can criticize. Let our speech be seasoned with honor, humility, love, grace, and respect. Obviously, we're not called, you know, to never speak, to speak out, to speak our minds, to provide an opinion, a stance on people and their actions, things like this. But the question is, what's the manner in which we're doing these things? Is it really reflecting Christ? Is it really the way that I would talk about my own parents? Honor the emperor and honor everyone. Number four, we are called to mourn with those who mourn and rejoice with those who rejoice. Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Whether you are or not, there are many people of all races and backgrounds throughout our nation and in our city, in Tyler, who are very hurt right now and are scared and they're angry and they're confused and they're hesitant to trust other people. And again, whether that's how you feel or not, we need to accept that fact. This is not the time for you to walk up to your African-American brother or sister and try to invalidate how they feel by arguing with them. We are a church here at Living Acts that has a majority of fairly well-off white folks. Okay, that's a reality. And I want to tell you something that may be difficult to understand, and it took me some time to get here. But we need to believe, if you are white, you do not understand what it is like to be African American, Hispanic, Middle Eastern. There's so many different people, right, that are in our communities. We do not know what it is like to walk in their shoes. And it is absolute arrogance to claim that we do. It's not the place of white evangelicals to pretend that we know something that we don't. When you have a conversation with someone from another background who is in pain, you need to mourn with them. You need to weep with them. You need to listen, to try to share in their pain. Because I promise, if you had lived the life that they had lived, you would understand. But we haven't. And also, it's important, I think, to add on to this point. You don't know everything about somebody just because they have the same skin color as you. You don't know everything about somebody just because they were raised in the same part of Texas or raised in a similar kind of household. We cannot just kind of flatten out one another and expect that if you're close to me, then you need to believe what I believe or feel how I feel or respond how I respond. We need to listen to one another and work through things together with grace. And not only do we need to mourn with those who mourn, but there's another side of that, and that is rejoicing with those who rejoice. If you are someone who has been very upset by this election, and you go and you have a conversation with someone who is trying to think more positively and maybe think about some of the potential positive outcomes that could happen with pro-life laws being enacted in our country, examples like that, it is arrogance to cut them down and to shut them off and to attack them, right? We don't want to be too far on one side of the spectrum or the other, okay? It's important that we would treat others the way that we would like to be treated and realize that we're all different. That we're all going to have different perspectives, and that's okay, right? The eye by itself needs a lot, right? The eye needs the hand. The hand needs the foot. We're a body that needs one another, and we need to benefit from one another and sharpen one another and outdo one another in showing honor. And lastly, on this point, I just want to encourage us to live in the moment. I think that it's easy, and I've done it, to just complain and talk for so long about how we got here and how this and that happened, and we can debate forever what someone should have done. But what it comes down to is this. Today, God has called his bride to be a light for the world. That's today. And yes, it was yesterday too, but show me how we're going to go back and change yesterday. We're not. And that is exactly what Satan wants us to do, is get us so wrapped up in the past, always thinking one step behind the current moment, to where we're never really living. We're never really acting on behalf of God's kingdom today. And I want to make a challenge right now to every Christian in this room. I would love it if every single person in here, hopefully this week, if you can, and if you want to kind of take on this challenge, I want every single Christian in this room to contact somehow someone who is different from you. I want you to contact somebody who's a different race than you. I want you to contact somebody who has different political views than you. And I want you to reach out to them, and I want you to ask them, hey, can we meet up and talk? Because I want to hear from someone's perspective that is not my own. And your goal in this meeting is not to type out a list of defenses for your own position or anything like that. It's to listen. Meet up with someone. Listen, listen, listen. Ask questions. Try to feel with those who are different than you. That's the only way these bridges and barriers are going to be torn down, is through genuine, gracious relationships. So I encourage each one of us to do that with no other agenda but to listen, and maybe to invite them to church if they don't already go to one. But seriously, guys, try this week to think about somebody. I mean, even if it's somebody you just see, build up the courage and the boldness to say, hey, can I talk to you for a little bit? I think it would do wonders for our worldview. The next point, number five, preach the gospel to all. I think it's an easy tendency for us to kind of separate religion and politics at certain points, right? But we've got to remember that we cannot allow that to be the case. The gospel is political, right? To declare that Jesus is Lord is to declare that Caesar is not, okay? To declare that Jesus is reigning, that he is king, that he is supreme, is a political statement that has many truths that come with it, that has a worldview behind it. And that is what we are doing every Sunday morning when we gather. We are gathering to proclaim that all of our problems will not be resolved by a president. All of our problems will not disappear in 4 or 8 years. All of our problems will only be resolved through the second coming of Christ. And that's what we proclaim. And that means that how we encourage people in this time is not through promising them to look to a politician or to a group of politicians. Instead, we tell them, look to the cross, right? Look to the cross where Jesus bore the sins of humanity, where you can find forgiveness. Look to the resurrection, right? Look to the place where Jesus was raised from the dead and given all authority in the cosmos so that nothing could trump his kingdom. And look to the ascension, where he was raised to the right hand of the Father and where he awaits to come back and restore all of creation. That is our encouragement. That is our guide to our neighbors in this time and to one another. It is to be Christ-centered and saturated. Give to people what they need in this time, which is living water. And also remember that God does not just call us to act in, I guess, the political sphere every 4 years. We're not to be activists once every 4 years on election week. But God calls us to act on behalf of justice and mercy every single day. Luke 9:23, we're to pick up our crosses daily and follow him. This is not something that we can get riled up about once every 4 years and then act as if nothing else matters. If you care about an issue, a concern, do something about it. Consistently, routinely, make it a part of your life. And don't take the path that the world does. Make it Christ-centered. Exalt Jesus in every point of activism that you make. That is what people need more than anything. And that is the thing that will have real effects. Number six, pray for our leaders. We must pray for our new president and those who have been appointed to positions of authority over our nation. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 2. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. Bruce Ashford, who's a professor at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, said that we should not limit ourselves to social media activism, opinion column writing, blogging, and TV interviews. If we possess any real concern for the United States of America, we will get on our knees and pray. And I'm not saying that those things are bad, right? I'm not saying that social media or writing a blog or anything like that is sinful and we shouldn't do that. That's not the point I'm getting at. What I'm saying is that if we forsake prayer for those sakes of activism, it will lead to our demise. Because God is sovereign. We need Him. We should be dependent on Him. And when we look at this, I mean, what is the way that the world is responding to all this? They're sitting behind their iPhones and laptops and they're venting. It's just a big ventilation center on the internet nowadays, right? Let's not be like that. Let's pray, let's act, let's move, let's lead one another and stir one another up to good works. We need God to change hearts. And I know that this is a far less glorious way of acting because these closet prayers that we make, they don't get the 60 likes and 12 comments, right? These closet prayers don't seem to be, you know, as hopeful afterwards, I think. But we have to realize that this is the primary way through which God uses His people to call on Him because He doesn't need us. Ask God in your prayers, what can I do to love others, to manifest your glory, to be a light for the world around me? And just let God guide you and how you can be an instrument. Each one of our paths are going to be different. Each one of our circles that we run in is going to be different. You know, the people that we can influence is going to be different. So remember that. Number seven, last one, lift your gaze to the heavens. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. If you then have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Tell you what, could have just read that and just sat and thought all morning. Probably would have been better. But man, isn't that an incredible truth? You have died to this world. Therefore, don't let it ruin you. I mean, it's crazy. We have these privileges, these heavenly blessings that have come to us today in Christ that we ignore and we don't take advantage of them. Being in Christ means that you are protected from things that are outside of Christ. He has you. Your life is secure in Him. Take hold of that. Take root in that. Don't let the waves of this world just toss you back and forth like a rag doll. That's not what Christ saved you for. He has greater graces that you can take hold of in this time. So help people to see this. Think about this. Meditate on it. Help your kids, your neighbors, to seek things that are above, to things which last for eternity, things which give hope to the weary soul. So to close out this morning, I just want to give each of us an opportunity to pray. Not each of one of us like you make a line and come up here. Would have been cool, but that's not what I had in mind. So I just want to give us an opportunity to pray. So just a few minutes for you to be able to pray. And there's three kind of things I'll throw out there that you can be praying for. And the first one is our leaders, is for Donald Trump and the House of Representatives and the Senate and the Supreme Justices and these people who have a lot of power in their hands. We need to pray for them and need to ask that God would guide them, that God would have mercy on them, that God would be the one who works miracles that none of us can work, that he saves, that he gives life and righteousness. Also, pray for the people of our nation. Pray that God would be merciful to us. Pray that this wall of division would not stand. Pray that Tyler, that the racial divides in this city would come crumbling down. And not that we would be centered around some sort of policy agreement, but that the gospel would advance in our nation, in our communities, in our neighborhoods. That the gospel would be what unites us. That the King of Heaven would be the one that we all stand behind fully. Pray that God would grant us repentance. And lastly, pray for yourself and for your family. Pray that God would give you wisdom and insight and grace in talking to your kids about these things. Pray that God would humble your family before his throne, that he would give you guidance on how to love your neighbors well in this time. And pray that he alone would be glorified in your life. Spend some time doing this, and I'll come back and close this in prayer in just a second. Father, God, we thank you for the promises of your word. We thank you that you have given us promises that we can trust in. God, that you are faithful, always, always faithful. That we can rest in you, we can find comfort in your gospel, in the only constant thing. And through that comfort, through that wisdom, through that guidance, we're able to guide others, to comfort others, and to be a light for the world. God, I pray this morning that as we opened up your word, God, I pray that every person in this room would adore you more. I pray that every person in this room would ultimately desire to seek your face, which is the glory of the gospel. They would seek your face as their refuge. That they would seek your word as their light. And God, that we would be humble in our interactions with one another, that we would be gracious. God, I pray that as conversations continue to happen throughout this week and weeks to come, I pray that Living Acts Church would be a voice of humble reason, that we would be a church that seeks to bring unity amongst people, that we would be a church unified in the name of Jesus. God, and I pray that you would equip us and encourage us and stir us up to focus on seeking your kingdom. I pray that Satan would not tempt us to worry ourselves and busy ourselves with the things of the world. But God, instead, that we would be a transformative community. We would go out into our culture, go out into our communities and be your hands and feet, God. Be glorified, God, and in this time I ask that you would be glorified through our upcoming president. God, that you would equip him, that you would aid him to guide. You would capture his heart, O Lord. And I pray that we as a people would always fix our gaze to the heavens. Jesus, that we would rejoice that we are in you. and that that is a reality that will never change. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. For more information on Living Acts Church, please visit our website, www.livingactschurch.com, or you can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/livingactschurch.